Okay, welcome to all of you here. I am looking forward to this. You know, I told the others, one of my favorite things about this class is that by the end of the week, I feel like I get to know you more personally than I do if we're hopping from one session to another. And one of the things that we'd like to do this morning is just introduce ourselves, both the instructors, and I'd like for you students to introduce yourself. I wrote a few things up here that I'd like for you to tell us about yourself. And so if you just simply give us your name and then tell us where you're from, where you hope to teach, maybe your occupation, what you've been doing up until now. Maybe you are a teacher already or have some teaching experience. Tell us a little bit about that. If we all take 4 minutes, we should be done by the end of the day, and that's too long. So just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm going to ask that if you would just come up by benches and stand in a line here so that we can keep this moving. And we'll start with some of you brothers who aren't scared to come up here, okay? And if you would, this first bench, just come up here after I'm finished. I'll give a brief introduction to myself. And then if you all come through and that bench is nearly finished, Ben, you come up and we'll do it that way. If you would help us out like that, and then we'll go to this side. My name is Verlin Miller. I'm from Red Bluff, California. We just moved there so I could teach school there this fall. It's a new experience for me. So if you have some teaching jitters, imagine an old person who's kind of set in his ways teaching at a completely new school where they're set in their ways. I have some teaching jitters. I just appreciate what we heard this morning. I've been a school teacher for a number of years, probably 20-some. It's just a blessing. God's provided grace through those years, and we give him glory. So, John, if this front row would come up, I will give you opportunity to tell a little bit about yourselves, and we'll just go right up through the benches here. John?
Well, I'm John Fall. I'm from Modesto, Brethren Heritage School there. We're a school, I think this year will be 65 students. Occupation before I became involved with the school, of course I was involved for many years as a parent and also had been on the board for a number of years, years ago. My occupation was in healthcare, so I was an RN. And I did infection control. So we have a teacher that just recently had surgery over in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she just let us know today she has an infection, so I understand completely what she's going through. Anyway, that was kind of my experience and my occupation for nearly 45 years. So I retired in March of 2016, and about a month went by, and some on the board asked me if I would consider being principal at the school. And I said, well, I couldn't think of a good enough excuse, and I support the school in many ways. And so I said, well, if it could be part-time, I'd be willing to do that. So it's been a real blessing to me. Got to work with Lloyd here and others that are very committed to it. So it's just I'm very new. I do teach computer and do PE, and we have a little newsletter that we are responsible for. So, nice to be here.
I'm Paul Summers from Bangor, California. I'm not a teacher. I don't ever profess to be one, but I appreciate those that do. We need them. I'm a board member. My occupation has been in construction for 30 years, so I can tell you about that. I have a problem telling you much about school, but I'm glad to be here. It's my first time to this meeting. My daughter's been here before, but I think it's a good thing, and I hope we receive blessings today. Thank you.
I'm Marcy Krupp. I'm from Belize, and it's my second year teaching.
I'm Ben Troyer from Cove, Oregon, and I taught there last year. This will be my second year teaching there. I work on a farm currently, so that's my occupation, and it's good to be here again.
I'm the teacher that ran up the wall you heard about earlier. No, my name is Jim Morrison. I'm from Woodburn, Oregon. I teach in Vancouver. I also prepare taxes and do gardening work, and I've taught for like 12 years. I don't know, something like that.
I'm Derek Smucker. I am from here right now, and I'm soon moving over to Madras, Oregon, which is where I'm going to be teaching this year. I've manufactured metal roofing for the last 3 years, and this is my first year teaching.
My name is Russell Zaire. I'm from right here in Halsey. It's where I'm going to be teaching. It's my first year. My occupation, a grass seed farm, kind of in the grass seed business. And, yeah, no experience teaching yet. So.
I'm Mike Heindel, and I'm from Wasilla, Alaska. And I'm not here because I'm a teacher. I'm here because I'm on the board and also supposed to be school administrator. I have, in the past, taught 3 years, but that's been 20-some years ago. So glad to be here.
My name is Seth Krupp. I live in La Grande, Oregon, 3 months out of the year. I've taught for 2 years. On my vacations, I work as a farmer, and it's really good to be here.
My name is Wesley Weaver. I'm from Squaw Valley, California. Went to school with Jonathan. Berlin's married to my sister, so that's why I have an interest being here. I am not a teacher. I'm a board member. So part of the reason why I want to hear is how to help teachers be able to do their job.
I'm Dan Sullivan from the southern tip of Belize, where I've taught school for about 16 years. And I taught a few years before that, taught some of Seth's aunts and uncles, I think. And otherwise, I'm also a dairy farmer and did construction when I lived in the States. And I carry around my cat string bag because it's free, and some habits die hard. And at home, when I ride my dirt bike to school, then I it holds my lunch. And
my name is Peter Whitt from Montezuma, Georgia. Been involved in education for about 27 years. Taught for about 20 of those. And I'm a licensed electrician. I do very little of that, mainly in the summer to stay out of trouble. And this is our first time coming to Oregon. It seemed like we'd never get here. We decided to drive to see some things on the way. And it's been very interesting so far, and we're looking forward to picking up more of those things in the West on the way home. But I've worked for many years with education and also been involved in other seminars and things of that nature. And I've been in your place. And as you turn your cup up this week, you're going to feel like your cup's kind of small for all the things that are coming. But God can enlarge that cup too. God bless you.
I'm Derek Overholt from Commerce, Texas. My wife, Evelina, is here, and my son, Alec. And I taught school for 4 years about 8 years ago, I think. And then I quit for a couple of years, got married, and now I'm planning to teach again. I taught CLE when I taught earlier, and now I'm teaching rod and staff. So it'll be quite a change. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I trust that I'll... Like I said, I feel small, but hopefully God will give me the grace. And my wife is an experienced teacher as well, so she can help me out with that. Glad to be here.
I'm Ashley Krupp, and I'm from Wendell, Idaho. I helped about, not this last school term, but the school term before, I helped be a teacher helper, and then now this year, I am going to have a room of my own, which is exciting. And, yeah, I do feel really small, but I do know that God will definitely give me the grace to teach. Yeah. And Yeah, otherwise I was just at home helping mom, my family. So
I'm Diana Ospaugh. I'm from Chula, Washington, and I'll be teaching at Cove, Oregon. I worked in a bakery for a couple of years, and I am a first-year teacher.
I'm Sarah Eblith from Chula, Washington, and I'll be teaching in La Grande, Oregon, and I work at a bakery, bulk food store, and this will be my first year.
I'm Verna Kreider from Iowa. I'm planning to teach at Lamont, Missouri. I taught 1 year before at home. This will be my first year at Lamont.
I'm Ellen Erb, Jonathan's wife. I had some limited teaching experience, but I'm here to clap for all of you.
I'm Abigail Sullivan, and I am from Toledo, Belize. I'll be teaching at our school there this year, and it's my first year.
Hi, I'm Autumn Hurst, and I'm from Grand Junction, Colorado. I will be teaching at home there, and this is my first full-time year.
I'm Melissa Hurst. I'm Autumn's twin, and there's nothing new about me besides what she said. I'm from Grand Junction, going to be teaching there. Actually, we're going to have the same classroom, and this is my first time as well.
I'm Samantha Graff from Squaw Valley, California, and I'm not a teacher, but I'm just here to learn.
I'm Larissa Mass from Alturas, California. I've been teaching at Grand Junction for 2 years, Grand Valley Mennonite School, and ready for my third year there. I also taught a year in Brazil, so it'll be my fourth year teaching. I didn't have time to get much of an occupation besides that, so that's about all.
I'm Janae Mass from Good Spring, Tennessee, and I'm planning on teaching my second year in Grand Junction this year.
I'm Wynette Rhodes from Carpenter, Wyoming. I will be teaching at Rosette Mennonite School, which is an outreach 4 hours north of us. It will be my third year teaching, and I really enjoy it.
I'm Charlotte Durstein from Carpenter, Wyoming, and this is going to be my fourth year of teaching. I taught 3 years in California at the Russian schools, and then I took a break, and now this year I'm going to be teaching at Pikes Peak Mennonite School in Pueblo.
My name is Jeannie Uzar. Last year we moved up to Sacramento County, California. We're from San Francisco, but we lived in South Carolina for 22 years. So my home church is Cross Hill Mennonite in Cross Hill, South Carolina. I'm a bookkeeper, and I've done bookkeeping for 35 years, but after we moved to South Carolina, we started homeschooling, and that's where we learned about the Mennonites. So I joined the church about 22 years ago. I homeschooled my children for 13 years, and after doing that a couple of years, I also taught 5 other children with mine. I have been tutoring children at the Stillwater School in Rio Linda, California, which is for Russian and Ukrainian children. And I've been tutoring children since one child since February, and this summer, 6 children in 4 homes. And as it's turning out, it looks like probably at least maybe 4 of those children I'll be teaching full-time this year again, instead of just tutoring them in the areas that they're kind of running short in. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm just setting up like a schoolroom at my house in my garage, and we'll take it from there.
I'm Lloyd Wagner from Modesto, Central Valley of California. They
sometimes refer to that as the land of fruits and nuts. So anyway, this is our first time up here to the Western Fellowship Teachers Institute. Looking forward to it a lot. But I've taught for, this will be my 14th year at Brethren Heritage. I teach English and social studies and speech and Spanish a little bit and some other stuff, choir, love to sing. And before that, I was principal of another school for about 2 years. Prior to that, I was parts manager of a truck dealership in Modesto here. My wife and I, we have a greenhouse at home, and we also raise pigeons commercially. We have a squab operation, and I'm a minister in our church. I've been for about 35 years. And then also, I have an eBay business that I do part-time, especially during the summer. Sell coins and collectibles. And so time management is of great interest to me, too. Thank you.
My name is Yulia Berezenko, and I'm from Sacramento, California. And I'm going to be teaching at the Slavic Baptist Church in Sacramento, and it's my first year teaching.
I guess if I would have come in just a little bit later, I wouldn't have had to introduce myself. I'm Brian Overholt, which I saw another Overholt here. Good to meet friends that you don't know. I'm a Missouri guy who got thrown into the slippery slope of Canada, and a lot of things have come my way in the last 5 years that I never knew about, like skating. I don't know if any of you have had to... How many of you like to skate? I'm curious. How many of you think you can really skate? Just one. Well, I liked rollerblading. I even liked some ice skating, but truly wasn't prepared for the brutality of learning on a little higher level. And I haven't done it. So that's kind of given me an appreciation for people who never quite learn something. I've done a lot of overhead doors. A garage door guy, and I didn't quite catch your name. Lloyd. I loved what you said about singing. I'm a avid musician as well, and I'm looking forward to singing here a little more and this whole week.
Thank you. With cooperation like that, you're going to make good teachers. And right now, I would like to invite Brother Jonathan to come up and just give a little introduction to what this course consists of. And Jonathan, if you introduce yourself a little bit, I could tell you a lot of things about him too. But and then after that, we'll allow Jonah to come up and just give us a few thoughts for inspiration, brother.
Yeah, I'm Jonathan Erb. I've taught school for 16 years. The last 8 of those in a Russian school in Spokane. Right now, I spend a fair amount of my time working for CLE, for Christian Light Education. And because of that, I've gotten into some of your communities, and I've learned to know you all through my work with CLE. Recently, someone, after a church service, introduced me to someone else, and he said, "This man makes his living by talking." And immediately, I started talking, trying to say that's not quite accurate. I also have a kind of a satellite office for my brother's electrical business in Texas, where I do a lot of the bidding, estimating, and dispatch, and things like that. I, with Pete Witt, am a licensed electrician, although I don't work with out in the field anymore. All right, so what are we going to do here? You have a paper titled Prelude and Orientation. I'd like to give an overview of the intentions of our track. This foundational concepts. Last year, the track was called Novice Teacher Track. And something about the word novice left some of us a little bit restless and twitchy, perhaps because of a negative connotation. The meaning of a novice, though, does apply to someone who's beginning the work of teaching. Novice simply means one that begins something or an inexperienced person. And so one of the things that did surprise me just a little bit in our introductions is that we have quite a few here that this is not their first year teaching. And that's great. Welcome. We are talking about foundational concepts. And while we do that, I'm thinking of especially the teachers who are just getting into this, that would be the fitting the definition of novice. So what are we going to do? Well, we'd like to help the newer teacher through the learning curve. All worthwhile work has a learning curve. I believe that to be true. All worthwhile work. Doesn't matter whether you're an accountant, a carpenter, whatever else, if you're tending a flock of squabs, it will have a learning curve. It does have a learning curve. My brother and I, when I lived in Texas, thought that we could perhaps start building spec houses, houses that you build and then put for sale. And we thought we knew how to do it because we were around the building industry for quite a few years, and we really actually talked about it that we don't think we have much of a learning curve. The first house we built, we ate the profits because it was $48. And he and I went out and we had a chicken dinner together with our wives, and that was that. All right. So, yes, there was a learning curve. Some of the subsequent houses, we did make more money, and then we got hit with 2008. School teaching is a little like that, right? And we want to be able to flatten that learning curve. However, you yourself will have to live through it. I'd like to talk just a little bit about the four stages of teaching. The first is fantasy. The second, survival. And then on to mastery and impact. If you're here today and are intending to teach, whether you taught for 1 year or 30, I believe that there's a measure of fantasy going on. Fantasy not in a negative sense necessarily, but you're imagining. You're looking ahead and you're thinking. And we heard that in your introductions. You're thinking ahead, and in that respect, you're fantasizing, meaning you're thinking about that which is not yet real, right? And that's a very important stage of teaching. I began to fantasize about teaching not as a little boy, but probably when I was about 17 years old, and it was 4 years later after I was married that I actually did begin teaching. But every teacher goes through the stage of fantasy. When we begin to teach, we get out of the fantasy mode, and we're into survival. When you think of the word survival, it does conjure up these images of a fight, of a struggle, and that is about the way it is. I remember after I began teaching, I went out one day, I took a restroom break, and told God, I don't know why I got into this, but if you just help me through this year, I won't be back, and I will be satisfied to pull wires for quite a long time, right? Definitely in survival mode. But, you know, it was that prayer that helped me move out of survival mode and through survival mode. And then mastery and impact after we've, yes, indeed, sweated it out, after we had some misapplied effort. We begin to know our students. We begin to know our stuff. And we're able to stuff them. In other words, we're able to get across the lesson. And we can see them changing their behaviors in academic areas as well as character areas, and then we're on to mastery and impact. We want this course, wherever you are in that lineup, which, as I said before, it applies even to those of us who taught many, many years. There's some fantasy involved. We want to keep you moving towards impact and mastery. That's what this is about. Now, there's a lot of good stuff available to beginning teachers. And what Verlin, Jonah, and I have tried to do is we tried to sort through that good stuff. And we want to point out what is specifically for you. And we want to show you, help you know what to do, show you what to do, help you know what to do and be effective and efficient, doing the right thing. And trying to get it done the right way. We want to also work at programming your mindset. You see, we believe that when you're teaching, we teach out of who we are. And so when things come in our daily exercise, as they come to us,
why we're going to respond to them out of the premise that we have, whether it's subconscious or consciously. Sometimes teachers begin to wonder, do I have to remember all this stuff? How in the world am I going to remember all this stuff? I would simply say you probably don't have to remember it, at least in a conscious way. You don't have to remember all this stuff. But as you follow along with the classes here, why, then it will affect your mindset. And it will be there in your subconscious to operate off of later. Right? Let's see, where are we? I'm lost my place just a little bit. I think we were talking about programming your mindset. Let's go on to how we're going to do this. We have a series of classes addressing foundational teaching concepts, as we've been talking about. And we want to identify keys for school success. What does a key represent? A key represents power. If I give you the keys to my van out there, why, it represents power, it represents responsibility, and so on. One of these keys is for the van, the other key is for this building. I was here last week, and I was given this key. And because I had this key, I could unlock the building. We could get into it for the teacher training that we had here last week. So we want to increase your ability. We want you to take ownership of these keys so that you can more effectively deliver on the responsibilities that you have. We're talking about things teachers need to know, things teachers need to do. We're giving you handouts. Get those handouts. Find the takeaways, I think is the word that goes in the blank there. Each class is going to have several takeaways. In other words, this is the thing we've been driving at. And Verlin, Joan, and I have that as part of our strategy this week, to give you a takeaway. Create and participate in class discussion as you can. And create and participate in the question and answers. There is that box in the back there, which Brother John already introduced. Use that question box for Friday morning. And point F there is assume the learner's attitude. The learner's attitude simply means listen. It means take notes. It doesn't have to be every single thing that's being said of equal importance on your notes. This morning, as Brother Jay was speaking, I took some notes, and if you would look over this, you would say, well, that's not at all balanced. I didn't even attempt to be balanced. I attempted to write down things that I don't want to forget that relate to me personally. Now, of course, when you're in the position of at an event like this for the first time with no experience, it all looks good. It's kind of like a boy in a candy store, perhaps, and you need to take some of each. And I suppose that's okay, but one of the advantages is to keep on going. You begin to understand yourself a little bit better, and you begin to understand yourself in real life a little bit better, and you can write down things that relate to you a little bit better. But do take notes. And point C is simply observe and absorb. I don't think that you have to feel badly if you're not taking notes. I remember thinking that when everybody else's pen goes, well, then mine needs to too. That's what I thought in school, and that's what I think sometimes when I'm sitting in a group of people. Not necessarily. If you're just sitting there thinking, observing, absorbing, that's completely okay. D is note presenter effectiveness and ineffectiveness. One of the things I like about these meetings is that we have a lot of different speakers speaking, and you can see the different ways that they present their points and their different habits and so on. We'll note that. And then point E is shape your views and values. And we had already talked about that briefly, but allow this to be a time when your views on life, your values are shaped. And then we can go work off of that. And rejoice if you feel filled. If you feel like your cup is full and running over and needs expansion, well, rejoice. That's wonderful. That's what God had in mind. And then last of all, go and serve. Go and serve. Now, a takeaway that I have written on this paper is that teaching is a learnable skill. Those on the quest to learn what to do and how to do it perpetually grow into greater efficiency and effectiveness as teachers. There it is. Are there any blanks that I didn't address? Any blanks that you want?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, I didn't mention that. Give priority to the foundational sessions. as John was speaking of this morning, especially if you're here as a first teacher, give priority to the foundational sessions. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Anything else? Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jonah Avina. I'm from Bangor, California. And that's where I've been teaching for quite a while. My other occupation is a lab assistant. I work at a local hospital. Just yesterday morning, I was working with growing quite a few bugs, bacteria, and so on. I've taught for about 11 years, and looking forward to teaching again this year. The title of my topic is The Privilege of Teaching. Do any of you have doubts about teaching this year? Anyone have a doubt? You do? One of the things I want to do in this topic is, first of all, inflate your doubts. I want to make them a little bit bigger than what they are. Because I want you to face them. Doubts should get faced. And I want you to learn how to control them. I don't know if you can see this. It does say doubts on it, on this side there. And to help you control them, we want to give you something to hang on to. And that's facts. And facts are kind of like a skewer. There's your doubts on a skewer. But ultimately, we want to get rid of them. Okay? At the end of this topic, I hope that some of your doubts look like that balloon did. Did you ever wonder what it would be like to have been one of the apostles and walk with Jesus on the earth? We think that'd be pretty exciting, right? Did you know that in Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, and, whoa, he listed teachers right up there with apostles. The goal of this topic is to prevent teaching as the rewarding calling that God intended it to be. God intended for the apostles to experience a rewarding calling when they followed Christ. I hope this morning, by the time I get done, that you will see teaching as a rewarding calling. The takeaway for this morning is that teaching is a rewarding opportunity to imitate Christ. I have a question for you. Was Jesus a teacher or a preacher? Anybody? Teacher or preacher?
Teacher.
What? Teacher. Let me give you some definitions. A preacher presents concepts without a relationship with the people he's talking to. In other words, a preacher can get up and preach to total strangers and it doesn't matter. He can say whatever he wants to. A teacher presents concepts to people who intend to follow him. So, I'd say Jesus was both. Yes, sometimes. But overall, he was more teacher than preacher. Another question. Would you like to be more like Jesus? Anybody here like to be more like Jesus? Good. Then be a teacher or be involved in teaching. Help. What makes us think that we're allowed to teach? You know, someone asks you to teach and we have this concept, well, it's up to me to decide whether I teach or not. But did you ever want to do something as a child and someone said, well, who said we may? Well, my question is, who said we may teach? We're broken. We're filthy rags. I hope that we recognize that little child mindset that was talked about this morning. What are the rewards for teaching? I need a little girl right now. Alicia, can you come up here? I'm going to tell you a couple stories real quick here. I'm going to use one of my daughters to help me. All right. This is Alicia. All right. Alicia is innocent, isn't she? I could have chosen any child for this. This is okay. Now, her big sister, when she was about her age, was playing in our living room. And I saw a wasp. So I grabbed the fly swatter and I gave him a good swat and he fell behind the couch. Well, several of them, I think it was almost an hour later, Alicia's big sister came running into the bedroom screaming hysterically. And we couldn't figure out, there was no evidence of anything wrong until we lifted her dress. And here this wasp was on her leg and just repeatedly stinging over and over. I felt horrible. I thought I'd killed it. But I'd only injured it and made it mad. This morning as teachers, we're responsible to kill those wasps, to keep innocent children from experiencing pain. That's one of the things that we're responsible to do. Alicia made the mistake of walking up to a fireplace and placing this hand on it. This hand looks perfectly fine now. We did a lot of bandaging and so on. Teachers are also responsible that when a child does experience that pain, to help take it away, to teach them, to send them on the right way. Teaching is a privilege because it demands rare abilities. First of all, our qualities. First of all, teaching requires some potential ability. When you got asked to teach, someone saw some potential ability in you. All right? It requires upright character. How many of you believe that if your children, your students, turned out just like you, they would be model individuals? Raise a hand too. I've got news for you. That's just what's going to happen. They're going to be following you around, doing things just like you. You're going to be in the spotlight. Teaching demands proper motivation. Our motivation must be for the student's good, not my own honor or anything, and a desire to serve God. And let me tell you something. Your children know why you're teaching. You're not going to fool them. If you walk into the classroom wanting to show off or to be something great, your students are going to know that's your motivation. It demands a servant heart. I suppose you all have realized that teaching typically means that we're working for less than those around us, and that's fine. It's okay. We get some other rewards. David, when he went to face Goliath, he said, "Is there not a cause? Big deal if my life is at stake. There's a cause. There's a reason we're doing this." Teaching requires divine nature. As teachers, we need the faith of Abraham, the meekness of Moses, and the patience of Job. Anyone here profess to have those things? I'm going to tell you, you need them. You're going to need that. Teaching demands divine strength. We are unqualified, yet chosen by God and His church. And that brings us to the next point. Teaching depends on God. Daily, as you enter your classroom, I hope you sense your weakness, your smallness, your inability to do this without God's help. I had a highway patrolman friend who told a story about one of his first days on the job. He was this young man dressed in his nice suit, in his patrol car, and he was cruising down the highway, and yong, here goes a speeder flying the other way behind me, and turns around, and he was after that guy. He was going to nail him. And he came flying up towards a curve in the road, and his trajectory was this way, This speeder had gone flying around the curve. And my highway patrolman man friend comes flying around the curve. And he said, there on the road in front of him was a Mennonite on a tractor. And he said, you know what? And he learned about the laws of physics. That if there's a Mennonite on a tractor right here, and the patrol car is going too fast, it goes this way. He was a little overconfident. There's two things you can learn from that story. Don't be overconfident and watch out for Mennonites. Okay? Depend on God every day, because otherwise your day's going to end up like this. Okay? You're going to end up off the tracks. And it's just not going to be a very, very good experience. Look at Jesus' example. He is the master teacher, and he wants you to follow him. So asking him to help you every day isn't, he's not going to groan and say, oh no, you called again. No, he wants you to call on him every day. For daily wisdom, words about wisdom were already read this morning, Solomon's Prayer. And the verse from James 3, verse 17, seek that wisdom, that true wisdom from God. Teaching depends on God for daily inspiration. You're going to probably see lots of inspired speakers here this week. I hope you are. And you might try to emulate that for the next 160 days during the school year. And let me tell you, that's hard. It's hard to be inspired every morning when you walk in there. Some days you just don't feel so great, you know. I'm sorry. It's not your choice about being inspired. You have to be inspired whether you want to be or not. Okay? So you're going to have to depend on God for that. Next point, teaching depends on others. As teachers, we become interdependent instead of independent. I heard several of you talk about your different occupations, and you probably did some of your work by yourself. Okay? Teaching isn't like that. You don't get to do that anymore. As a teacher, you're going to be working underneath a board. You're going to be working with parents. You're going to be working as part of a church. You are no longer a loner. You've got to work with other people. And you're going to be interdependent on these people. First of all, you are dependent on the church. That verse from Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Did you know that teachers are a gift to the church? I would just love for some time when a church is getting new teachers, for them to box the teachers up in like gift wrapping and drag them up onto the podium and have everybody come to church and unwrap. Man, gift! Here's your new teachers! If you're a new teacher, I hope you feel like that, because that's what you are. God gave you to the church to be used. You're a gift. Teachers are mentioned quite often in the New Testament. I'm not even going to try to mention all the times that the word teachers or teaching is mentioned. Look it up sometime yourself. You'll be surprised. You depend on your board. The school board is on your side. Don't ever look at them as the cruel, unjust leaders, okay, or your bosses or whatever. They're there to help you. They want the school to succeed probably as much or more than you do. And they're very much like an umbrella. I've always liked this example that if you're walking underneath your authority, you don't get wet. But it's when we try to run out, we get outside of our realm of responsibility, you're going to get rained on. You might even get hit by lightning. Stay under the board. The responsibilities they give you. And that's going to vary from one school to the next. Some boards are going to be a little more micromanaging. They want to know everything that happens every day. And others are going to be more likely to just kind of let you do your own thing. Regardless of what kind of board you're operating under, operate under the board that God gave you. Okay? They're there for you. The parents. The parents are on your side. And they are scary, trust me. Okay, I'm scared of parents too, honestly. But they are on your side. I had a co-teacher my first year of teaching who was even more scared of parents than I am. And she had a student who began controlling the classroom. You heard me right. She had a student who was controlling her classroom. She came to me, I was the principal that year. She said, what am I supposed to do? Julian is running everything. I'm not even in control anymore. I said, well, you need to talk with his dad. His dad? His dad's the bishop of the church. I can't talk to his dad. What am I going to go tell the bishop that his son is running the classroom? I said, yeah, that's because that's what's happening. I can't do it. I said, well, if you don't, then I'm going to. No, you can't go talk to him. That would be even worse. Well, okay, then you have to talk to him. She said, I can't. I physically can't talk to him. I said, okay, then write down what's happening, and I'll deliver the note. Until she did. The next day, I completely forgot about this until after school. She came walking into my classroom. She said, guess what? I said, what? She said, Julian was trying to please me today instead of me trying to please him. I said, well, praise the Lord. You talked to his dad, right? Yeah, I guess. So, the parents are on your side. They really want their children to fit under you in the right way. Don't be afraid of asking them for help. And your teaching actually also depends on your students. Okay? After all, you wouldn't be a teacher if you didn't have any. Teaching develops talents. In the parable of the talents, we have people who had, you know, one talent, three talents, five talents. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how many talents you have when you become a teacher. I've concluded that to become a teacher, there's only two things you have to have. One is a beating heart. The other is a conscious brain. All right? God can work with that. If you've got those two things, you're good to go. God can add all the rest of them. And let me tell you, you're going to get more talents. Teaching expands your talents. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, the apostle wrote that God gives grace according to measure. So if your teaching load is extra large this year, God's going to give you more grace. That's a wonderful thought to me, that the bigger the problem, the bigger the load, the more grace you're going to get. Grace according to measure. You're going to gain new talents as a teacher. And let me tell you, you won't be having any unused talents. I have yet to find teachers who didn't need all their talents. There will be no buried talents in teachers. If there are, you won't be teaching for very long. So don't be afraid of using your talents and of developing new ones. The fifth point there, teaching dispels ignorance. I think this is the teacher's favorite reward. Not this past summer, but the one before, I was beginning to order some irrigation water. And in the creek that my irrigation water comes down, there was a large stone that was in the way, preventing me from being able to get as much water as I wanted to and to pump it as efficiently as I wanted to. This stone was far too large for me to move by myself at one time, but I found that with a pry bar I could move it a couple inches. So I found a stone that was about a couple inches big, and I wedged this huge rock a couple of inches up, and I put that little stone underneath there. And then I picked it up another couple inches and stuck another stone under there. And I kept doing that until that large stone was out of the way. And let me tell you, that's the way students, the ignorance in their minds gets taken care of. You don't suddenly take a student that has no clue how to read and teach them to read in one day. It doesn't happen that way. It's little rocks. You stick a little rock in and then you pry some more. And every pry takes effort. But eventually, the rock moves. The ignorance is gone. This is a little bit like we talk about students experiencing that lights on moment. And I'm just going to exhibit this for a little bit. So I hold this up and it's a flashlight. You know, that's a flashlight. It's a pretty nice looking flashlight. Maybe I'd like to have a flashlight like that. If you're a child, well, you turn it on and you play with it. It's like a child who's just figured out that you know, letters make words or something or whatever, and you can do something. And then as the child matures in the knowledge that you've given them, they begin to apply that knowledge. And they might actually use this flashlight to go somewhere. Or maybe they stick it in their vehicle for when they get a flat tire at night or something. But dispelling ignorance begins with expanding the child's knowledge. So first of all, introducing, this is a flashlight. And then letting them explore it and then applying knowledge. The next point, teaching direct souls. You know, I told you those stories of my daughters because as teachers, we have the opportunity to direct our children, students, away from pain. Because experience is a painful teacher. It really is. We have the opportunity to prevent them from having bad experiences if we are able to teach them correctly. We can direct souls toward usefulness. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, Paul wrote that the Word of God is perfect. It's able to equip help the man of God to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As teachers, we are in the business of equipping people, giving them the tools that they need to be able to be useful in life. We can direct souls toward God. As teachers, we're not evangelists. We're not here to try to make our children Christians. That's not our job. But we can definitely point them towards that. I think God wants us to do that. Towards success. In Ephesians 4, verse 12, it's the verse that comes right after the verse 11, where it talked about God giving teachers. Why did God give teachers to the church? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that equipping again. And Brother Verlin is going to teach you more about perfecting. I'm going to leave that up to him. But God is able to take your teaching and use it beyond anything that you've ever imagined. Some little thing that you do, you may not think it's very significant, may impact a child's life forever. And forever is a long time. We're talking about eternal souls here. These little things, day by day, perfecting. The takeaway is that teaching is a rewarding opportunity to imitate Christ. I hope this morning that you look at teaching as a privilege to follow Christ more closely. And with that in mind, we as the three teachers here want to take this opportunity to bless you all. So I'm going to ask you all to stand and ask Brother Jonathan and Brother Verlin to come up here. We're going to spend the last few minutes of this topic in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Jonathan to start. Brother Verlin will pray. We're just going to be blessing you all, committing you to Christ for this year. And if after Brother Verlin prays, if one of you is inspired to ask a blessing, feel free to do that, and then I will close. Go ahead, Brother Jonathan.
Thank you, Father, for this day, and we thank you that we have sound minds and healthy bodies, the gift that you've given us. Lord, we just pray that you would bless each one of these people that are here assembled. And Lord, we pray that as we give our bodies and our minds a living sacrifice to you, mm-hmm. that you would take that sacrifice and mix it with your blessing so that your kingdom can be built in these various places where these folks will be serving you. Lord, we pray that you would help them, help each one here to have an understanding of their responsibility and their calling. We pray that you would help them to see this as an opportunity to do the work that you've called them to do your will. And we pray that you would also help them to feel your infilling, your indwelling, your enabling, to help them feel their spirits, their hands, their hearts, their voices lifted to do that work. We pray that you would bless them this week, especially, Lord, for those who have not taught before and are just thinking about doing this and imagining themselves in the responsibility. Lord, we pray that they would find those things that are encouraging, that they would not be overwhelmed, that rather, Lord, they would find helps for this work as they anticipate what will be theirs to do in just a few weeks. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. I pray that your Spirit would use this week to prepare each of us to be the gift that you would have us to be to the congregations you've placed us in.
Please help that seed of compassion for each student to be watered and begin to grow this week.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I think of that song, we lift our hands. Steve. We just pray that as we lift our hands to thee this week, you'd help us. In Jesus' name.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to come here and to gain knowledge, and hopefully we can make application. We pray that you would bless each one of these who are involved in the coordination and in the instruction, that the wisdom that they receive through their experience and through knowledge of thy word might be able to be imparted to each one of us. And help us that we would be teachable, that we would receive instruction, that we might put it to use in our own settings. Help us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come before you. We thank you that you desire to teach us, that we may teach others. We pray that you would help us to be able to receive instruction you have for us this week. Help us to be tools in your hand that you can use to your own honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for your attention.